right, guys, welcome back. This is Chris 60 in the Friend Bomb Formula audio training, and you were ready to move on to step two. Just to review, you are now activated and ready to go. So step number two, I call lighting the fuse of desire. And basically what you want to do is increase this girl's desire when you're around. Now, the question becomes, how are we going to do this? Well, we're going to use a little sneaky technique I like to call invisible escalation. Now, if you're wondering, well, Chris, what is invisible escalation? Well, I don't really know what strategy you normally use to get girls, whether it's, you know, you try to tease them or you got some stock pickup lines. But basically, invisible escalation is instead of using big moves. Now, a big move would be something like lunging for the kiss or confessing your feelings. You know, these are bigger moves that a girl's going to have to make a decision right then. Do I like this guy or not? They really force her hand. And she might not be ready yet. She might not be turned on yet. So the big moves isn't really the best strategy. So instead of big moves, we're going to be using small moves, little moves, micro moves, moves that are nonverbal in nature. And these are really moves that are invisible to the naked eye. And if you're saying, well, why would I want to do that? Well, one of the reasons is when you have these small little moves, you really can't be rejected. They also give you deniability. You're not really doing anything. But as you're using these moves, she's getting turned on. It's something that people just aren't going to know what you're doing, and that's why you use them. Now, to get a little more specific, you're going to be using things like body language, facial expressions, your vibe. I don't know how much experience you have on using things like this. Like I said, everyone has a different style of game. But when it comes to a girl you like, this is way more effective than just using, you know, pickup lines or cocky comebacks. Maybe you act disinterested around the girl you like. Maybe you just pretend to really be the friend and you don't act as if like you want anything from her. This is a better, more effective way to act. And here's something funny. You could give me your thoughts on this too. I almost feel like women like giving the "we're just friends" speech because it's kind of like an ego boost. It's like they know you like them, right? They know, they probably known for a while. And once you finally make the confession or do the thing, you know, or lunge for the kiss, and they do the whole, "Chris, I told you we're just friends," and this and that. Now, you may think, oh, that's probably uncomfortable for her. But let's be honest, it probably gives her a little ego boost. So I tell guys, don't let her give you that speech. Never, ever get that speech. Don't do things that are going to make her hit the reject button and give you that speech.
Yeah, you know, it's not only, I mean, it definitely, I hugely agree that there's a part of it where she, it's an ego boost. I always say girls have like a check in her mind of like, he likes me not. And once she gets you in that he likes me column, especially if you haven't slept with her and she knows you like him, it's like over. She's got the ego boost. She's got everything else she needs. So there's not really anything necessary. Like you said also, I think the other danger of going for it in the lunging, trying to kiss her way without using the small moves that we're going to be talking about, the other danger is that you're kind of giving an ultimatum. Like if you go to kiss her or you blurt out your feelings, she's got to make a split second decision. You've just put her on the spot where now she's got to decide yes or no. And anytime anybody kind of gets put on the spot, our natural instinct is going to be like to reject you because she doesn't know if she's making the right decision, and you're making her make that decision too fast, and it's very high pressured for her. So I think a lot of what you're going to be talking about is how to take that pressure off her and just let it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely don't want to put her on the spot because, like you said, she's going to make that decision. And if she hasn't changed her mind about you yet, that decision is not going to be favorable. So that really gets into why even use invisible escalation. You know, Chris, I like, you know, teasing girls. Why is invisible escalation better? Well, basically, right now, this girl sees you as a friend. Okay. And it's much better if she thinks in her mind she suddenly started liking you. She thinks this was her idea. You know what? Chris is actually pretty attractive. I'm starting to feel a little bit of tension when he's around. So she thinks she changed her mind because, like kind of you were saying before, if you're the one trying to convince her, hey, you should like me. We get along so well. We have so much fun together. That's never going to work because you're appealing to the logical part of her brain that says, oh, we went to a movie together, we must be great for each other. And it's just not true. You have to change her mood. And this is what invisible escalation does, because all these small little moves are going to start to get her excited. And you also, you definitely want her to start feeling differently when you're around. You know, you want her to start feeling, you know, excitement. So once that happens, once the feelings change, I feel like a girl's mind is going to change after that. That's kind of like the formula, like change her feelings and then all of a sudden the thoughts. And you talk a lot about female psychology, so I don't know what you think about this. You're changing her feelings and then, you know, the thoughts in her mind start to change.
Yeah, it's definitely true, like you said. And what's great about your method and the method that we're discussing is the most important thing I think you said, and I want to reiterate it, is she's got to really believe that she's the one making the decision. Her feelings are changing, not because you've decided you like her. She's got to believe that she's the one falling for you. Like, it's her idea. Like, she's being won over by you, and now, you know, now she's hoping that you make the move rather than the other way around.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I know guys are excited. What are the moves, Chris? And I, just to reiterate, you'll be able to see these moves on a real girl in the video module. So you'll get to see with your own eyes, because I know a lot of times guys, you know, once they see it, they go, aha, that's how you do it. So we'll go over the moves now just to give you a little, you know, pre-examples. But you should also go to the video modules and watch me demonstrate this live. So the first move I tell guys, and this is as simple as it gets, I say, if you, you know, you come up to me and say, Chris, I just can't do anything when girls are around, I get nervous. I say the number one thing to do is just enjoy her sexiness. Sit there with a big dumb smile on your face and think about how turned on you get around this girl. Like we were talking about before, notice all the small things about girls, the fuck me boots, the perfume, whatever. And what this does is it gets you horny, kind of like we talked about. And then it kind of creates that sexual energy that's in the air and that kind of turns her on at the same time. And I always joke that if you put the hottest girl in the world in front of me, and let's just say it did make me nervous. All right, it's a movie star. I'm in New York City. There just happens to be a movie premiere. And the hottest movie star is at the bar and now she's talking to me. And I'm like, oh man, Chris, yeah, there's nothing I can do here. What I would do is I would sit there and I would enjoy her. I would just look at her in a certain way. I would be relaxed. I'd let her turn me on and hope that starting with that kind of vibe, would lead me in the right direction. Now, number two is very easy. It's easy in theory, but still at the same time, a lot of guys have trouble with it. And I call this, you need to get a little bit closer to girls, you know, your face or your body when you're talking to them, you know, depending on the situation, but a little closer than you would as a friend. And I always bring this up and I'll tell a student and I'll say, Chris, I was close, right? And I'll be like, dude, you were still 3 feet away from her when you were talking to her. You need to get a little bit closer. Now, nobody's saying get creepy close, you know, where it's awkward. But, you know, just a little step closer, it sends a different message. It's like, oh, this guy might be a little interested. Oh, this is creating a little bit of sexual excitement and intrigue. So you'll have to play around with it a little bit. But every time, and this is one of like, it sounds so easy, but it's been one of the keys to my successes. When I first go talk to a girl, I'm a little bit closer than the average friendly guy, whether it be a bar or a female friend. And I actually try to get as close as where I kind of feel it. I feel that electricity. I don't know if this has ever happened. Have you ever felt that electricity when you just get like a little closer than normal? You're like, whoa.
Yeah, it does. And I love you. You know, you're saying, you know, risk creepy, like risk it, like, you know, push the limits. And it's funny because I always tell the story of a girl that I used to work with who – she was like a close talker, right? And me and my friend, and she was like mildly attractive. She was like a 5 or a 6, right? And in a conversation with my coworkers, we would kind of make fun of her. Oh, Anna's a close talker, like kind of like make fun of it. But at the same time, when it was me and her together and she was close talking to me, I still couldn't help but feeling turned on by being that, like, you know, a little closer than I should be. And even though, like I said, even though, you know, on one hand, talking to my friends about her, oh, she's too close of a talker. But on the other hand, even though logically I would laugh about it with my friends, you know, sex, like horniness is not logical. I couldn't help but feel it when I got that close to her. So yeah, I 100% know what you're talking about.
I love that story. That's so interesting, because I could picture a girl or a girl with a girlfriend saying, you know, oh, when Chris came over and talked to me, you know, he was, you see what he was doing? He was so close. But secretly they like that. Like you said, it's, you can't stop that feeling. It's like, I almost say it's like nature made it that way for a reason. Like once somebody gets inside that zone, it's like you just get this desire to hook up, because it's almost nature planned it that way. Like if someone's in that zone, they're there for a reason, and it sets off these feelings inside of us, just like, oh man, I just want to grab this girl and start kissing her and start going at it. And you'll never have that feeling with a girl unless you get inside that zone. So that's definitely something you want to do. Now, the third one's, again, it's easy to understand, but sometimes harder to put into practice. I call it seductive listening. And I came up with this one because I would always, you know, observe students when, you know, they were supposed to be, you know, going out, picking up girls, and they would just always be talking the whole time and entertaining and doing the little pickup lines. And what I noticed was girls would, you know, laugh and they'd seem into it, but there was just no seduction there. There was no seductive energy. And what I realized was if you're always blabbing on and talking, unless you're going to become some, like, you know, NLP, like, hi, nice to meet you. Like, if you're not doing those type of things, there's no way that by you just telling stories and blabbering on that you're going to get her really, really horny for you. So I learned that for me, the best thing was to listen to a girl. Now, obviously, you don't want to listen like, you know, the therapist or, you know, the BFF. You want to listen to her in a seductive way. And basically, that just means when she's talking, you're holding her gaze. You're looking at her lips. You're imagining in your mind, you know what it would be like to get this girl back to my place tonight. And all these things like that are running through your mind just make you look like a seductive guy, like a cool guy, just kind of listening to her, thinking about her. And the best part is it's so easy because it's listening. That's all you have to do. You just have to listen the right way. And really, this is one of the easiest things I teach. Like any guy can do this. If you just go up and enjoy a woman and start listening to her and once in a while ask a few questions like, oh, you know, what are you passionate about? Not interview questions like, hey, where do you work? Although that can sometimes work. You start talking like that and just listening and letting her go on and on while you kind of seduce her non-verbally. It's very, very effective. I've had girls say like, I wouldn't even say two words. They'll be like, oh, you're such a good talker. It's so great talking with you. I'm like, talking with me? I hardly said anything. I'm just sitting here looking at you, you know, putting out that vibe. So that works as well.
I think, just to jump in real quick, I think when it comes to seductive listening, you know, it is a matter of not talking so much. And I also think a lot of guys, like you said, you catch guys like just talking and talking and talking. I think a lot of guys do like listening, but like unattractive listening. And unattractive listening is when you're kind of like a bobblehead and you're like nodding and like giving like fake laughs every time she like makes something that's even remotely funny. Like you laugh, you do like an exaggerated laugh, and you're doing all these things to show her like you like her and you're enjoying her, as opposed to what you're talking about, which is more of a relaxed, seductive listening. And yeah, I just wanted to clarify that, because I do think a lot of guys think, oh, being a good listener is giving all these signs that you're listening and like kind of egging her on, when I think a lot of times that comes across as too try hard.
Yeah, it's true. Like if there was a course on how to listen, that's what they would say. Nod a lot, smile a lot, and do all these things. And no one would say, you know, look at her seductively. So this is probably the only place you're going to hear that, but it really works. And I just wanted to point out that I also demonstrate this in the video module. So I demonstrate exactly how to look like the right way to listen and the wrong way. So you could see the girl's reaction when I do both things that Bobby was kind of just mentioning there. So besides listening, this is my favorite technique ever, probably my most secret technique, the thing that I've used to just bang so many girls. And it's easy to understand. You might have to practice it a little, but I call it the sexual screening face. When I first started out, the way I would look at girls when I talked to them, I would almost be like a tough guy, like, oh, you know, impress me. I was trying to be all disinterested, because that's kind of what I first learned about picking up girls. Then I said, oh, you know, you need to be sexual. You need to be seductive. So I would look at girls and I would be like, give them the look like, ooh, I want to bang you. I'm going to get you home tonight. You know, the seducer look. And then it hit me one night when I mixed up both looks into one and kind of mixed them up with the same girl. At first, I'd give her a look like, you know what? I am going to get you home tonight. I am going to bang you. But then I would switch it up and give her a look like, I'm just not that sure about you yet. I got to kind of see, and give her the screening look. And I noticed this would just drive girls crazy, because you're not giving away all your validation. Yes, she likes it that you're turned on by her. and you like her, but she still feels in her mind, I haven't won Chris over yet. What's he so skeptical about? Why is he looking at me in that way, especially when you're listening? So I call this the sexual screening phase, and it's really one of the most powerful things you could do to a girl. I mean, it just absolutely drives a girl crazy.
Yeah, I can see that. You know, a lot of it is, a lot of people talk, a lot of advice, you know, you might have heard like the push-pull
right
conversation methods, and you're sort of doing it without any kind of conversation. You're just giving off that vibe of like, I want to bang you. Not so sure. And it kind of gets her now, she's got that level of, you know, validation of, oh, this guy wants to bang me. And then when you take it away, now she's like, what did I do? And now she kind of starts putting effort in to be even sexier around you. And one of the keys to getting a girl is when she starts trying to be sexy around you, that to me is like the golden, like, that's where you want to be, where she's like actively trying to turn you on and you're reacting to that. And she senses like she's putting her femininity out there and you're responding with this masculine desire. I mean, that's like when people talk about chemistry and all that, that's really in my mind what that is your masculinity responding to her femininity.
Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up because I'm going to get into that in a second, because this is basically physical push-pull, like you were saying, like this conversational push-pull. A lot of this method is physical push-pull, like under-the-radar push-pull. It's not very obvious, like, I like you, maybe I don't. You know, it's not verbal like that. It's this subcommunicated push-pull, which is a powerful game. And when you combine that with like a lot of the female psychology you talk about, you almost become unstoppable with girls. But I'll just give you the last one first before we go into that. And I just call this, you know, the silent sexy stare, or like, you know, the silent sexy pause. And basically what it is you don't let anything get to you. You're non-reactive. You could just kind of look at a girl and kind of comfortably, like, you know, drift off into your mind, even if she's trying to test you or do any of these things. Or if there's a moment where it's silent, you don't try to break it. You just kind of chill in the moment and maybe look at her for a second, look away, look back. Now, I've been doing this for a while. And the way I discovered it is one night when I was losing my voice, I couldn't talk hardly at all. And I still wanted to go out. So I went out drinking beers, which is even worse. And that's all I would do with these girls. I would just kind of look at them like, all right, hey, what's going on? And girls would look at me and they'd be like, blurt out of nowhere, you're cute. Okay, if it happened once, maybe it was just a random thing. At the bar, looking at a girl, not really, you know, just relaxed. You're hot. And I'm thinking, I'm hot. I'm cute. Well, that can't be true. So what the hell's going on? And then I realized what it is. When you hold the gaze of a girl, when a girl, not you looking at a girl, when a girl looks at you, at your face, and you don't kind of fidget and look away, you kind of like comfortably hold her gaze. I want to make that point clear. It's not like you stare her down in like this tough guy battle. When you let her comfortably check out your face, your looks, and you subcommunicate that you're comfortable with yourself, that is what's sexy to girls. That's why they'll blurt out, you're cute, you're hot, you're gorgeous, you have gorgeous eyes, you have green eyes. Dude, I've heard all of this stuff just by doing that. And that doesn't mean I'm good looking. It just means that I'm comfortable with my looks. And that's why I say, when guys say, oh, you know, I'm ugly, or I'm this or that, or I say, listen, I'm short and I'm not that good looking. And I have girls calling me gorgeous every time I go out. Why is that? Because I'm comfortable with myself and my looks. So that's one little trick that you can do to make yourself, you know, appear more attractive to women. And I think you talk about kind of perception. Like, I think recently you sent something out about how women perceive you and how to change that. Like, you had done a video and people were saying stuff about you or something.
Yeah, just that, you know, controlling the lens that a girl sees you through. So, and just kind of using what you're saying in terms of the way you look at a girl, is that if a girl looks at you and you get squirmy and uncomfortable and you can't make eye contact, she now sees you through one lens. She sees you through, oh, this guy's like, she judges your physical appearance through that lens. On the other hand, if she looks at you and you come across, like you're saying, like totally comfortable and you hold her eye contact, she's seeing you through a different lens. And your physical appearance can seem 100% different, because I've been on both boats. I've had girls, like you said, tell me, oh, you're so hot, you're so this. I've also had girls describe me as being awkward looking, and it totally relates to my level of confidence in that moment. And when I'm feeling confident, I come across as more attractive. But when I'm not, then they can sense an awkwardness.
Yeah, it's so true. So you can change your appearance. And I'm not saying, everyone's story is different and everyone looks different. But honestly, if you could be comfortable with that stuff, I always like bring up like the 300-pound black lady that goes on the talk shows that comes out like, I'm beautiful and I don't care. Well, maybe you don't think all of a sudden, I'm going to sleep with this woman, but you're kind of like, you know what? Good for you, girl. You're confident. You've got it going on. And guess what? Somebody goes and bangs that girl because she has that kind of confidence. And it's the same thing. You just need to be comfortable with yourself. So let's go over quickly the five main benefits of invisible seduction. So to really get you excited about using it. Number one, it creates sexual tension. Let's just be honest. When you do these things, you create a feeling between you and the girl you like that things are getting hot and heavy. So instead of just a friend, she's going to start feeling butterflies. Maybe her heart starts beating. She gets all giggly. These are emotions that girls like. Number two, and Bobby had kind of brought it up before, all these things create this kind of screening vibe. And this is very important to go with all the moves because some of the moves you're using are escalations. You're moving things forward. But when you also bring up this screening kind of vibe, it gives you that physical push-pull. And I like to say every move has to have its counter move. And that's really, what physical push-pull is. So just quickly, some examples. If you get like when I get close to a girl, if you look at me, like if you go to a bar with me, oh, wow, Chris just talking to that girl, he's getting close. You'll look at my face. I'll have this like slightly aloof look on my face, almost like I'm slightly bored. So I'm doing both things at once. Holy cow, he's getting close quick, but whatever. I do this all the time. It's kind of almost boring in a way. Like we were talking about, I'll give a girl the I want to bang you look, but I'll mix that up with the I'm kind of screening you face. Or, I'll shut up and kind of stare at her in a sexy way, but I won't be talking or trying or reacting to her. So everything has its counter move, and you really can create emotions inside a girl when you mix up this physical push-pull. Now, another great thing about invisible escalation, and I especially like this, is the fact that it's discreet and you can do it when your friends are around or her friends are around because really nobody knows what's going on because, let's face it, especially guys, they're a little clueless to this subcommunication. Like maybe other girls around might be like, you know what? That's a player. I've seen this before. This guy's good with women. I see what he's doing. But other guys, like say another guy wants to bang this girl or, you secretly does and you don't know, he's not going to know what the hell you're doing. So you're not going to be seen as a threat, and it's really going to let you slip into the back door. And another thing is, a lot of people, I don't know if you've had students do this, they make excuses like, oh, well, I couldn't like put on the seductive vibe because like friends were around, or we were at, whatever party, I couldn't do it. The thing is, no one's going to know you're doing this, so there's no excuse. You can do this in any situation. No one's really going to go, I think he's 2.3 inches closer than a normal guy does when he talks to a girl, or he's looking at her for a second or two longer than a friend would. Like, what's going on? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. No, it's funny because guys that get it begin to recognize it, but guys that don't get it totally don't.
Yeah, it's totally true. So the fourth main benefit is you really can't be rejected. Like we were saying, don't let her hit that reject button because if you do something big, like going for a kiss, this isn't going to trigger her saying, oh, we're just friends. If you write her a note or you confess your feelings, she's going to be able to say, Chris, I told you we're just friends. And the bad part about that is once that frame is set, when you try to fight against the frame, instead of making you look cool, it looks needy because she'll keep coming back to that in her mind. I told you we're friends. I told you we're friends. So you don't want to trigger that response. And when you use invisible escalation, my joke is it's like a time machine because every time you hang out with her, you can start right again trying to seduce her all over again because you haven't been rejected officially. So it's like, oh, I didn't get it right. Let me try again. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Groundhog's Day. I call this like the Groundhog's Day effect. Oh, I'm seeing her next week. Let me try this again. Whereas if you made a big move and got rejected, you wouldn't be able to do it. And lastly, it really just gives you deniability because it's like, let's just say one in a million girls goes, Chris, I know what you're doing. You're using invisible seduction. You bought that course. And you're using invisible seduction on me. First of all, no girl is going to say that. But even if you did something like that, you could just be like, I'm not doing anything. You're crazy, girl. What's going on here, man? You're crazy. I'm not doing anything. Because you're really not doing anything at all. So really, if you want to say, Chris, what's the main goal of all these invisible seduction moves? Well, basically, it changes the frame of the relationship from he's a friend trying to get me to like him to I feel excited when he's around. I suddenly feel like almost like I'm trying to impress him. And really, this is the main goal of all these moves. So now we're going to get into the roadblocks. And actually, Bobby had brought one of them up previously when we were talking, because these will be the three main things that hold you back. So I just told you this, you're excited, you're like, Chris, I'm going out using invisible escalation on this girl. This could hold you back. One we talked about was fear of being creepy. You know, I like to joke that a guy being called creepy is like calling a girl fat. For guys, we just do not want to seem creepy at all. But I like to say that it's not the moves that are creepy. It's not eye contact or getting close. It's how she feels about you in the moment. And I think Bobby had brought up a story like that. If she's not into you and you use all these moves, she might be like, I'm not feeling it right now. But that doesn't mean seductive eye contact is wrong or getting close to girls is wrong. It just means she doesn't have the feelings yet. Because if George Clooney showed up and he gave her a sexy stare, she'd be all for it. But the thing is, you can become her George Clooney once you start using these moves. And then all of a sudden, oh, it's not creepy. It's sexy. It's exciting. So really, high risk, high reward. Now, another roadblock to this is if you're a guy, and this is something you just have to build up like a muscle. I think, you know, you've called it like a game of chicken sometimes. There are moments when there's sexual tension, and you have to learn how to not break these moments, whether it's, you know, a pause in the conversation, and you just feel like you want to blurt something out. Or you catch her eyes and you're holding eye contact for a second, and you're like, oh my God, I got to look away. Or maybe, like, you know, your hand slightly brushes hers and you're like, oh, and you move it. Or maybe your leg under the table. Would you agree that there's certain moments that guys just have to get better at basking in that sexual tension moment versus breaking it?
Yeah, and it's funny because it's like all the moments that are where the quote unquote magic happens is like the moments most guys are most uncomfortable with. I used to fear awkward silences for the life of me. Like when I was out at a bar on a date or something, like the minute like I felt that there might be a silence in the conversation, I would immediately try to fill it. And you know, now looking back, it's like the worst thing you can do. You know, you just get comfortable in that silence because that's where you kind of slow things down to the next level. Same thing like you said, where you know your hand like grazes against hers and you get all uncomfortable instead of like letting it linger there for a second. Sometimes girls will kind of test you, and a girl will, let's say you're shaking hi to a girl, hands with a girl, and she kind of holds on a little longer or something like that. And instead of reciprocating that like comfort level, guys and myself, I used to do this too, get very uncomfortable and kind of be the one, like you said, chicken and pull away first. And you know, it's very, I don't want to say unattractive, but it kind of lets a girl know your experience level by how comfortable you are in those situations. And obviously, we all know girls are attracted to guys they believe are more sexually experienced.
Yeah, it's true. It's almost like sexual tension is like a metaphor for how good you are with sex in general. And when you break those moments, it's like, oh, this guy doesn't have a lot of experience with the tension and getting sexual. Yeah, it's really a big tell. So the last roadblock that could really hold you back is a lot of guys, and we talked about how we used to be this way as well. You're used to like getting girls, like you thought you had to talk and you got to try and you got to game the girl, you got to get the girl. This system is more relaxed, and it's listening is a huge part of this. And you don't try too hard, so this might throw you for a loop. You might be like, wait, but how do I get a girl attracted to me? But I don't try too hard. Well, I like to say you're really doing two things at once. You're trying, you're showing your interest through your subcommunication, your eyes, your body language, but at the same time, you're also, you know, using the push-pull we talked about where, you know, you're slightly bored, a little bit aloof, maybe you're not as into it as you thought, and you kind of keep her guessing. So if you have these roadblocks, let's talk about the three solutions. These are quick and easy solutions if you're having a problem. The first I like to say, and I have to always put this in there because I used to tell guys to do all these things, and when I would do it myself, it sounds funny. It's going to sound like, you know, you're a nerd or something, but you practice in the mirror. Practice making these faces. Practice the body language. Look at yourself. See kind of the faces you make. You know, the seductive faces when you look at a girl. Now, it sounds kind of funny, but that's going to help you get better faster. The second thing I would do is, and I tell my students to look for someone they know, is like model yourself after your favorite seductive actor. Is it Hank Moody? Is it George Clooney? You know, there's clips on YouTube because these guys are trained in this. You know, they have a role, you know, seducing women. See what they're doing. See how they act. Get that visual reference. And the videos that I have here will also help you because you can see exactly what I'm doing. But sometimes when you have a character in mind, you're like, you know what? I'm George Clooney. When you're walking around, you know, the bar or at the party, and you feel you kind of like step into that role or almost feel like you're an actor doing this, at least at first, so you get good at it. And here's another thing I do. I would like practice it on cashiers or bars, and it sounds funny, but even like going to like order my coffee when I was practicing this, I'd be like, you know, they'd be like, what do you want? I'd be like, all right, let me get a green tea lemonade. And, you know, I'm not being cheesy, but I would kind of like hold her gaze a little bit longer. I'd leave a little bit of a silence. And sometimes that's all you can do because that's all the practice you're getting. You know, you're only going out to the coffee shop or to a bookstore or whatever. Take your moments to practice. It's not all you have to practice on the girl or at bars and clubs. So definitely make the mistakes now, but you will get better. When I first tried this, I'd probably laugh at myself and my friends would laugh at me. But really, after a period of time, I got very good at this where I really feel it deep inside. Like I go out and I'm like, I'm going to seduce a girl. I know how to seduce a girl. I know exactly how to act and I'm going to do it. Do you have any experience with that kind of stuff?
Yeah, you know, I want to jump on two things you said there. The first was practice on cashiers and women that don't count. And I'll go even further because I get a lot of students who say to me, I go into I go into 7-Eleven all the time and the cashier there is this cute girl, like, but there's always customers in line. How can I really flirt with her and create attraction? And, you know, my philosophy and is exactly what you said is, you're not going to be able to have this huge conversation with her. So do all this nonverbal stuff, you know, something as simple as like flirting with her by, you know, going to hand her the money and then teasingly pulling it away and make, you know, and then kind of like giving her like a look and then just giving it to her. These nonverbal things or the glances you can say or slowing down in the way you look at them, that's how you're going to seduce a girl, like a cashier or something like that. You're not going to do it through, you know, building rapport when, you know, you have 30 seconds in line to have a conversation. So I want to, you know, just kind of throw that out there. Even if it's not practice, that's how you would actually do it on those kind of girls. Because I do get a lot of guys asking me, how do I seduce the girl who works in my bank or the girl who serves me pizza? Second thing with the actors that you know, I recommend people to do is, you know, you said model your favorite actor. I'd go one step further, and this is kind of like an attraction hack, is if there's a guy that you remotely resemble, one thing that you can do is kind of style yourself after him. So it doesn't even matter if he's like an actor known as being like a seductive guy. It doesn't have to be a Hank Moody. Even if it's like, you know, Jason Biggs or something like that, if people tell you you look like him, like dress like him and, you know, be a more seductive version of him. But you're giving yourself an advantage because girls are conditioned to feel like they know these actors from seeing them so much. So when they meet you, you have this advantage because they feel like they know you already because you resemble somebody that they've seen a million times. So I don't see guys taking advantage of that enough. If somebody tells me that, you know, I look like this actor, I would go and find as many pictures and movies of him as possible and kind of model his mannerisms because it's going to give you a huge advantage.
Yeah, I like that and I totally agree. I had a friend that was a really tall guy and he looked almost exactly like Ross. And this was a while ago when Friends was really popular. And he could just go out, and every night we went out, girls would say, "You look like Ross. You know who you look like? Ross." And I mean, he just used this totally to his advantage every night, especially when the show was really, really popular.
Yeah.
Not as much now, but yeah, I totally agree with that. That's a great one. All right, guys. So to wrap this up, everything we talked about today about invisible escalation, the benefits of it. Sometimes there's some roadblocks to using it. We told you why you should be using it. We told you the moves to use. And if you're ready to go on to step three, here's what has to happen. When you're around the girl you like, instead of being just the social guy or the friendly guy, if you can now, when you're in a situation with her, be the more seductive guy. Once in a while, throw it in more times, you know, sometimes a lot, sometimes a little. You don't have to do it every time, all the time. But if you're able to throw in these seductive moves and have more of that attitude, and you could be non-reactive, not let her get to you, if you could listen to her seductively and use some of this nonverbal facial expressions and body language, while at the same time kind of screening her, that kind of physical push-pull we talked about, then that means you've lit the fuse. You've graduated from step two. You've activated the bomb, you've lit the fuse, and you're ready for the final step of the friend bomb, which is going to be pull the trigger.